Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dan Hallstrom of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, talking about those latest beef export numbers in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, understand the Beef Checkoff has commissioned some research on plant-based meat alternatives and their impact on the beef industry. Tell us more.
Well, plant-based alternative proteins may be getting a lot of hype, but the reality is that consumers still love and choose beef. To fully understand alternative proteins' influence in the marketplace, as well as consumers' buying habits and perception of beef, the Beef Checkoff commissioned a research study about plant-based alternative proteins and their potential impact on beef demand. The study found real beef, is currently chosen in the marketplace about three times more often than plant-based protein alternatives. Second, beef has a good image. Consumers' perceptions of beef taste, appearance, price, and naturalness greatly exceed that of plant-based proteins. Regular meat consumers are much less likely to select a plant-based item when a beef item is available. For beef producers who want to learn more, visit drivingdemandforbeef.com.
Talking today with Dan Hallstrom, the president, CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, latest October statistics for meat exports out. And we continue to be on fire, especially when you talk about beef exports, Dan. I know you're very pleased.
Yeah, exactly right, Ron. The momentum from the previous months continues, especially on the beef side. We're up about 7% year on year for October, and we're still on a pace of about 17 or 18% growth on beef, and which will be a record. But you know, once again, I feel like a broken record because we kind of talked about this last month, but it's broad-based growth across a whole series of markets. It's not, I mean, China is the one we all talk about. It's up big, but you got Japan, you got Korea, you got Mexico, Central America. The broad-based nature of it is really encouraging.
I know that one of those eye-popping statistics out of these October numbers, the fact that we've now hit record value levels for U.S. beef for the entire year with, what, two more reporting months to go?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be our estimate is that on beef we're going to be over 10 or right at 10 billion in exports. And on the pork side, we'll be a little over 8 billion in exports. Yeah, it's definitely translating into increased value in a big way, once again, across the whole spectrum of countries. And, you know, I think the positive here is that we still have a few headwinds and we're still seeing these numbers. As we all know, the international transportation issue continues to be challenging. But despite that, we're still seeing pretty good numbers.
This is, you know, kind of almost mind-boggling that with all the backup of ships on the West Coast and to head toward the Asian markets, we're still able to make all this happen.
Yeah, I mean that's the encouraging part of this, and I think there's some other encouraging news. I mean, I think the House yesterday passed a Shipper Reform Act that has to still, I think, go through the Senate, but. The increased focus on this issue from the industry and from D.C. and consequently with the ports, maybe we're starting to see that tide turn in our direction a little bit. There's still a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. We're still backed up with 30-some vessels in Long Beach. Today was the number. But at least it looks like there's maybe a little bit of improvement coming in this area. But yeah, back to your original point. You know, the demand and the numbers continue to be strong despite that.
When you think about these three big Asian markets that are each going to probably top $2 billion each, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. If you think about it, and the beauty of it is that you know the product mix on beef anyway is somewhat similar between Japan, Korea, and Hong Kong, China. Anytime you get more customers bidding on the same product, you know, you tend to have a little bit of momentum on the price levels. And we've seen these cutouts at pretty good levels here for a while now. So that's the good news. But the other headwind in Asia is still this COVID. Food service is still hampered. We had a renewed lockdown in Japan and Korea. So due to COVID-19 fifth wave. So you really still have these restrictions at food service. Let's segue over to Latin America. The opposite is going on in Latin America, Mexico and Central America in particular. COVID is not solved, but it's in the rearview mirror in those countries, and food service is in a dramatic rebound in that area. And tourism, although it's not really Asian tourism, it's more North American tourism, but these tourist areas in Mexico and Central America are really starting to rebound as well. So this is all contributing to some of that momentum on beef and pork, for that matter, in Latin America.
President and CEO of the USMEF, Dan Hallstrom. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
The commodities markets are an integral part of the U.S. economy. Each business day, futures contracts trade in the energy, financial, and agricultural markets. Hi, I'm Curtis Ward, president of KIS Futures. Our firm executes futures and options and provides risk management strategies for our clients who hedge. Our team also provides full-service brokerage while offering free quotes and charts, free market reports, market text messages, futures market tutorials, and real-time account information. For more information about our trading services, give us a call at 1-800-256-2555 or log on to our website at kisfutures.com.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a good day. I'm Ron Hayes.